The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, which will include a visit from our friend Rob Domofsky, begins now. All right, Tausch, pose your question again for those of us, those that are just joining us.
I find this interesting. We just had a nice little meaningful, not property tax and services debate. A debate a little bit about Jordan Love and where he's at as his development. And I, by the way, Jason, I agree with you. Huge year. Year three as a starter. It is a big year to see. And I think he does need to add running the football again. The fact that he was injured last year, I'm not giving him a full pass, but I think he was healthy enough, should have and potentially could have done a lot more with his legs in the second half and especially in the postseason. But Jalen Hurts won a championship, and when you win a championship, you get some grace as a quarterback. He did not play well against the Green Bay Packers. I think he is a really good quarterback. He brings a lot of intangible things to the squad. I think he had a great roster, the best O-line, the best running back, and potentially, from a tandem standpoint, the best wide receivers. Hey, great job, Howie Roseman. You have the roster. But that is what led me to pose this question to you at the top of the hour is, if Jordan Love was the starting quarterback on whatever day the playoffs started, and you flip teams, you just flip Jordan and Jalen, the Packers went into Philly, are the Philadelphia Eagles still the world champions after the season? Jason?
All right, so first of all, let's be fair to Jalen Hurts. He lost the Washington game, which was their only loss over a stretch of 15 games. He left after throwing four passes. He then missed the final three regular season games, or at least the final two regular season games. So we can't just say, oh, he didn't play well against the Packers. In fairness to him, he had missed a bunch of time. He was good against the Rams, although he didn't have to do a whole lot. He was great against Washington, and he was very good in the Super Bowl. So let's be honest about Jalen Hurts. Secondly, what I didn't like about the conversation and the narrative after the loss to the Eagles was that we had an excuse for every one of Jordan Love's three interceptions that he threw in that game. Well, Darius Slay made a good play, and Dontavian Wicks didn't stack Darius Slay properly on that deep ball. And then it was Malik Heath didn't run his route at the proper depth on the interception to Zach Bond. And then the final interception in the end zone was Bo Melton was interfered with before the throw. These are all from Matt LaFleur. And I have a hard time believing that the narrative would have been the same if it had been Aaron Rodgers who threw three interceptions in a playoff game. I just do. And that's not because I'm an Aaron Rodgers stan at this point by any means, but we have given him some of the kid glove treatment. And when you get to Jordan Love, he threw three picks in a playoff game. For whatever reason those occurred, that still matters. And so the Eagles got up 34-0 in the Super Bowl. And I know the final score was, 40-22. But to your point, Jalen Hurts did not have to go win that game for them. He threw 21 passes. Now, at the same time, they did not get a whole lot of production in the run game from the best running back in football, right? Saquon Barkley had a tough game that day. So he made all the plays that he needed to. He was 17 of 22. He did throw an interception. But that's 77% completion rate. 221 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, passer rating of 119.7 in the Super Bowl. Pretty good. Yards per attempt was a 10.0. That's playing really good football. That means you're making big plays. You're not throwing a lot of incompletions. He played very well.
He did.
If Jordan, if he plays like he played against the Packers, I don't think that the Eagles win if Jalen Hurts has a day like he had against the Packers. But I also don't think that they win if Jordan Love turns the ball over the way Jordan Love did in his playoff game. So what evidence do we have that we can say that when Jordan Love, when the game was on the line against San Francisco, he threw two fourth quarter interceptions? Mm-hmm. When he played in a playoff game against Philly, he threw three interceptions.
Yeah.
Like, those are Favre-esque type things to say when the game is on the line. Interception against the Giants, interceptions in 4th and 26, interceptions in St. Louis. I'm not saying that Jordan Love can't win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that he couldn't have won a Super Bowl if he was the Eagles' quarterback. But he can't turn the ball over like that. And when they were having success in the second half of each of the last two seasons, it was because he was careful with the ball and didn't turn it over. You can't have a quarterback who turns it over on the biggest stage as many times as he has.
So you're answering no to the question.
Of course. Look, if I don't know how he would play under those circumstances. Is he going to make those same mistakes with the Eagles roster? I don't know. That's Jeff Darlington's point. Can't turn the ball over. Low-hanging fruit, notwithstanding.
So is your answer no or yes to the question that
you
posed? Because no, they would not have won the championship. So the Rams would have beaten them, or Washington would have beaten them, or someone else would have beaten them.
He would have had to win four straight games to win the title. And I don't think he would have avoided enough mistakes to win all four of those games.
Jesse, what do you think?
I agree with Jason. I don't think the Eagles win the championship if Jordan Love was their quarterback instead of Jalen Hurts.
Interesting. My
Tausch. Tausch.
Yeah, I think they would have. And I think they would have because you're not asking Jordan Love to do anything superhuman. Jordan Love was getting crushed in that game when Elgton Jenkins got pulled out. When Elgton goes out, it was over. That was,
do you think the Packers ask him to do things that are superhuman now?
I think the Packers asked Jordan Love to do more, I think, in the passing game than what the Eagles asked Jalen Hurts. I think the Eagles asked Jalen Hurts.
You said, superhuman.
To manage the game. And Jalen Hurts manages the game a lot differently than Jordan Love.
You don't think Jordan Love manages the game?
Jalen Hurts had designed runs where they pulled people and they got him. You didn't see that with this. He scrambles out of the pocket and is able to use his legs a heck of a lot more than what Jordan Love has been able to do. That's your differentiator. And when you add in the RPO and some of the other stuff with Saquon, their offense, their roster was the best in football. And I believe that while Jalen Hurts, and I know all of the metrics will tell you he had a better season than Jordan Love. Not arguing that. Jordan Love had a lot of inconsistency, and I could understand the argument of, well, he made too many mistakes and he wasn't consistent enough. All of that is true. But I just think Philly's roster was so good. Not every quarterback in the NFL was going to get it done. No, I'm not saying that. Jalen Hurts deserves his flowers. But I just think the idea that we're so far off here and that Jordan Love is, narratives are shaped by playoffs. If Green Bay hadn't filled their britches and turned the ball over a ton, and that's Jordan, on Jordan as much as anybody, they win that game. This whole narrative is different. And that's the reality, and it's tough about the business of the NFL. Jalen Hurts found a way. Their team, with creating four turnovers, hung on to win two games, getting Jalen more and more healthy so that he was able to go about his business and do it. But the narrative shifted had he not. And I just think now we're acting like there's some monster gulf between Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love.
No one said there was a monster gulf.
The way you guys are talking and the way you're putting, The way the hold up, and you can finish. The way
you're
it's
telling
framed,
us what we're saying, that we can't defend
because
that?
You just said it. You just went through a litany of things
no
that you
one
don't like
ever
about where
said
Jordan's at.
And there was a monster gulch. No one said that. No one said that. Anywhere close to that.
You just said that Jordan Love wouldn't win a championship with that same roster. That's a
played,
pretty big gulch.
He would have had win four freaking games. I don't understand why this is a hill you want to die on when you look at what Jalen Hurts did in the NFC Championship game and in the Super Bowl. I don't think Jordan Love plays to that level. And maybe they don't need him to. But there are some moments in every game where your quarterback has to be him. And would he have been him or not? I don't know. But don't ask me a question and then tell me what I think. You hate it when I do that to you.
But you just said what I asked you a question. You said
never
I'm not yelling
said
at you. I don't know why you're yelling
gulch.
At me.
What never said
I didn't say you said gulch. You definitely think there's a chasm. Is there not a chasm? And by the way, there is a split. He is a championship quarterback. Jordan has not gotten there yet. I'm not arguing that. But I just feel like Jordan Love with that system and what they'd ask him to do, they would have won a championship with Jordan too.
He can't run the way Jalen Hurts runs. Doesn't that matter?
He's not asked to. Or he's not asked to.
No, he said himself he doesn't. That's not his game. Jordan Love said it on NFL Live.
All right.
He's not going to run that way. So, so do they still win a Super Bowl then? Because that's a pretty important component of what they do offensively.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought up Darlington.
Tell us about Quick Trip.
Quick Trip, life's busy, and Quick Trip gets it. Whether you're craving that fresh coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal, Quick Trip is your go-to. It has a variety of apps. I love the mozzie sticks. Oh, they're fantastic. You get that with a little marinara. They got great cheese curds, mini tacos, everything. They also have Don's Pizzas, 4 for $10 or $3.99 each. And this is one I am really surprised at this. Quickery hot dog or hamburger buns, and it's just 99 cents. Go grab some of that good ground beef from there and make those smash burgers. Woo-hoo. Sounds fantastic. Urge chips and popcorn, 2 for $3.50, and you got soup. Very windy out there today. Soup bags, $6.99 on Tuesdays. And, of course, chicken, roasted whole chickens on special for $6.99 on Mondays. And whether it's a quick bite or dinner on the go, Quick Trip is the ultimate destination. Fuel your day with quality. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of everything that Quick Trip has to offer on all of your visits. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
There's a report about a high-profile wide receiver.
This is very sexy report. Very sexy.
That the Packers have an offer on the table for.
Oh, really?
We will tell you who the receiver is.
Do you have any conversations with any senior level folks? Because what team is it? Can you tease us?
We'll tell you who the receiver is and details of the offer per Corbin K. Smith, who covers.
He's a new character.
Corbin, I like that. What? Seattle Seahawks. We know somebody out there, don't
we? It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Corbin K. Smith, the Seahawks reporter for Emerald Spectrum and host of Locked On Seahawks, reports. Hearing through multiple sources.
Spectrum there.
Hearing through multiple sources that the Seahawks have spoken with a couple of teams about DK Metcalf's availability this week in Indy. As John Schneider has pointed out before, simply talking to another team doesn't mean a trade is imminent, but worth keeping an eye on. From my understanding, Seattle isn't actively shopping Metcalf, but at least one team that has inquired feels they have the trade package in place to make Schneider strongly consider pulling the trigger, and he's at least been willing to listen. One team to keep close tabs on, the Packers. A source indicated they have had discussions with the Seahawks this week and have an offer on the table that includes a high pick and a young receiver on the roster to acquire Metcalf. There's an obvious connection to Schneider as well.
Jason.
Tausch,
I don't ask
your
you
thoughts.
To do this. I don't ask you to do this a lot. We asked you to do this with Goody. Why don't you send him, John, a text and just say, don't respond or give us an emoji if this report is true? Just so we get like a little inkling. I'm fascinated by this, but is the DK Metcalf, where's he at with his contract? Does he need a new deal if we do make this move? That's the first question I have. Receiver obviously is a spot, one of the three, the trinity, if you will, of things that I think the Green Bay Packers are looking to address in a somewhat major way. And judging by some of the combine talk that I had heard yesterday, the defensive line, a lot of dogs, a lot of potential guys that you feel like if they could fall to 23, you'd feel really good about. This receiving thing, I've been on the board for Devontae because you're not going to have to give much, if anything, up to him. This is a different animal. And DK Metcalf obviously is a physical freak. Big, strong, fast. He would be that number one wideout that I think Green Bay is looking for. But at what cost? Both, I think Goody would do one. I think he'd have a hard time giving up big picks and paying big money. But maybe that would tell you what he feels about this current crew that he's got on his roster if he did do that.
In the 2019 NFL draft, in the second round, Brian Gutekunst selected Elgton Jenkins at number 44 overall. He mentioned during his postseason press conference after the loss to the Eagles that he had Deebo Samuel on his board, that he had DK Metcalf on his board. He left out the fact that that year he considered taking Drew Lock at number 12, and then Drew Lock went at number 42, two picks before he took Elgton Jenkins. Deebo Samuel also went before he took Elgton Jenkins, so they were both off the board. DK Metcalf lasted until the last pick of the second round. He went 64th
right?
overall. The Packers then had a pick early in the third round. Their pick was 75. So 11 picks later, they got stuck with Jay Sternberger at the top of the third round.
Who
so
was the
he
guy
obviously,
that they went ahead of Sternberger that everybody always says, boy, we could have had this guy? Was that there's somebody went right.
I believe Terry McLaurin is the one that we bring up.
That might be it.
He went the pick right after. Terry McLaurin went in the pick right after Jace Sternberger.
So we
like
could have
immediately
had scary
after.
Terry, and then we had Jace.
Theoretically, could have had DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin. be that as it may.
That would have been fun.
DK Metcalf signed a 3-year, $72 million contract extension. He is in the final year of that extension.
Yeah.
His base salary is $18 million. His cap hit for this year after restructuring, et cetera, is $31 million. So the Eagles are either going to have to trade him or extend him, or figure something out to get his number down.
Yeah, this, I think here's a couple of things. And I'm always leery when a team isn't interested in paying their own guy. That always is like, whew. So with Xavier McKinney, I'm still like, what the hell? You know, that's just ineptitude by old boy. But John Schneider, if he felt like Metcalf was a Jefferson or a Chase or a CD Lamb or someone like that, you don't think he'd hesitate to pay him? Like top dollar?
And he's already paid him once.
Yeah, but it was, I think when you look at that contract for a starting number one wideout, yeah, obviously they had Tyler Lockett and other things going on. But that tells me John doesn't want to pay him what will in essence be $35 million for a stud one right now. Ja'Marr Chase is going to get $40 million a year. So if you do this, you're going to be paying – maybe it'll be a little bit less than Jefferson. Maybe it'll be like mid-30s. I'm not sure I want DK Metcalf, and you got to probably do a 4 or 5 year deal. You're now committing to him. And then the other part is, what pick do you give up and which wideout do you think is getting sprinkled? Jason, if you had a guess, and I don't know if you'd seen this report before.
I had not.
Who does John Schneider try to get? My guess is if he's talking to you, it's going to be Tay Wicks. That is going to be on the first flight out to the Pacific Northwest because you love him. Who do you think the Packers would throw in there to sweeten this thing up to get this thing done if that is indeed what Goody wants to do?
We'll get Rob Domofsky's opinion on that because he is scheduled to appear next and we can discuss it all together. I think it's important to note that the Seahawks also have Jackson Smith and Jigba, who is a really, really good young player. So I assume he is, not only was he, I'm guessing, their leading receiver, but if they're going to pay someone, he would get a second contract as opposed to DK Metcalf getting a third. So I don't know how much to read into their unwillingness. If they didn't have Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, maybe they'd have a lot more interest in paying DK Metcalf again.
Maybe. But maybe
regardless,
he's in that same Goody thought process of, boy, you better be special on top of special if I'm going to give you a boppo third contract, right?
Correct.
That tells you a lot, though, too. If you think if it's Randy Moss or one of the guys I just mentioned and they're at that point in their career, you think Schneider would be like, no, we're not paying him?
No, of course not.
If he's that good? Okay.
This may be my favorite Steinhoffel's read ever. It's softer. It's dramatic, even.
Am I closing my eyes and picturing anything?
You should, yes, and preferably your mouth, too.
Shut my mouth? Burn.
Your home is more than a place. It's a reflection of you. Make it uniquely yours. During the Steinhoffels, make it your own event.
Aww.
From bold statement pieces to timeless classics, find the perfect fit for your style. Personalized colors, fabrics, and more to make every piece your own. Save up to $800, and with Steinhoffel's 18-month financing, making your room more yours just got more affordable. The Make It Your Own event, only at Steinhoffel's and steinhoffels.com. Rob Domofsky joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
This makes me so happy. I gave him some grief. I thought he was abandoning us. I don't like to feel abandoned. But here he is back again. After like, what, a 2-week layoff even? Was it just 1 week? Must be a lot of big basketball going on right now.
I don't know if it was 1 or 2 weeks. I think it was 2.
Well, we're happy to have you. It is Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com. The best in the business when it comes to the Packers and when it comes to high school basketball as the Redbirds roar back from an 18-point second-half deficit to knock off the Tritons as they get ready for WIAA tournament play. Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great, and DK Metcalf is going to be a Packer. Call Brady Henderson. Yeah. Ask him if this fella that we're going off of his report, Corbin or Clinton or whatever his name was, I got to go back and look now, if he's reliable or not. Because DK Metcalf is a Packer? What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, in some levels it makes some sense. On others, it really doesn't because, I mean, look, Goody's only got 7 picks right now, and he wants more, not less. So that doesn't necessarily fit the MO. He even said this week that he would like to have more than the 7 picks. Now, that being said, there are some things that make it make sense from a standpoint of, you know, Metcalf is 27, I believe. He is on his second contract. He has 1 year left on it. And, you know, the Seahawks might not necessarily want to do a third deal with him. And, you know, they've done business with the Packers before, right? Schneider and Goody, I think, have even done some draft day trades, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, it's not totally out of the question. Obviously, you're going to have to give Metcalf another contract, which, you know, I suppose is something that they would be willing to do. You know, one thing about DK is, I mean, he's really reliable. I think he's played in either 15, 16, or 17 games every one of his NFL seasons, and I think he came into the league in 2019. Like, there's a lot of things to like about it. You know, if you're the Packers and you have to give up a pick and a player, you know, you're not going to have – if you give up another receiver, I mean – you know, you're not going to have Christian Watson until probably mid-November at the earliest. So I'm not sure I'd go that direction. However, given everything they went through with Romeo Doubs, are they to the point where they're thinking they're probably not going to give him a contract extension because he's going into his last year too, right?
He was so, my guess. Like,
would that be the guy that you would move? I'd move him before I'd move Dontavian Wicks if it were me, but that's just me.
Me too. I thought it was interesting, Rob, because I know you're going to go to the NFL meetings. Watch out for the fact that Pete Carroll's back in the league, because the last time I was at the NFL meetings with you and Schneider and Pete Carroll, he held us hostage telling us about how 9/11 was an inside job. But when you go to that, I am curious with Goody. The comment he made, because you and I weren't in the room when it happened at the scouting combine, but wanting more picks, and we'll get to Jair in a second. He only has 7. He's had, obviously, 3 good to great drafts in a row, if you're looking honestly about them. So he clearly wants more picks. I just have a hard time picturing him pulling the trigger on a big time splash deal. Do you have that same kind of I'll believe it when I see it with him making a deal like this or no?
100%. Absolutely 100% on that, Jason. And I'm not saying the reporting is not accurate. It may be, but it would be, you know, out of character, big surprise. But as he said in his wrap up press conference, it's time we start competing for championships. And you know, maybe he feels like he's got to adjust his philosophy a little bit too. You know, but like you mentioned, the draft picks, like, yeah, he's had some really good drafts, but, you know, his first round picks the last couple of years haven't been productive yet. Not to say they won't be, but Van Ness, you know, is 2 years in and doesn't look great. And Morgan, you know, pretty much had a lost year last year. So if you're him, you probably want more, you know, swings at the plate. You know, I mean, people judge a draft on the first round pick, which I think is probably not right. You judge it on how many quality starters you get out of a draft. And if you happen to get a really good one in the 4th or 5th or 6th or 7th round, whatever, and your first rounder isn't great, then, you know, so what? Like, it doesn't matter where you find them. It's how many you find. And I think he would probably like to have as many opportunities to do that as possible.
And we talked about your piece from earlier in the week, looking at the three guys that had an impact from this rookie class, but three more that could, that really had no impact, and that was interesting.
Three of the top five picks in last year's draft basically did nothing, you know, with Morgan, Marshawn Lloyd, and Tyron Hopper. So, I think that's a reason not to knock those guys or the picks. That's a reason to think this class might end up being pretty good if one or two more of those guys ends up being a player.
I just thought it was interesting that when Goody was I asked him a question at his wrap-up about, you know, the good fortune involved in drafts, like how they traded back twice and then still got Jaden Reed. And he mentioned the 2019 draft and getting Elton, but that they had DK Metcalf, mentioned him by name. They had Debo Samuel on their board. They didn't get a chance to pass the Metcalf and took him Jenkins. So maybe there is something there where he's had an affinity for DK Metcalf ever since. Because we know Ted used to be that way too. Like if there were guys that he liked in the draft that he didn't get, he then had a little more interest in them when they became available. So we'll see if anything comes from that. Where are you at on Jair? Go ahead.
So let me just say this real quick, Jason. How many times have you seen a player that they end up getting down the road and they say, we tried to get him, you know, 2 years ago or whatever the case may be?
Jason's a little robotic. We'll get that fixed. Jair, that's been the talking point all week. And I just I know that we've seen other corners get, you know, Lattimore this offseason, got a nice haul back for the Saints. Yeah. Realistically, what do you think the best thing Packer fans could hope for if someone is going to trade for Jair?
Yeah, I mean, to me, unless you're a team that is that wants him and is afraid that you won't get him if the Packers cut him and somebody else will make a better offer, I don't really see a huge trade market for him. That's not to say, you know, Ted always used to say it only takes one team to make an offer, and that could very well be. I mean, if it were me and you told me right now I could have a fourth rounder for him, I'd do it in a heartbeat because I just don't think the value is that high for him. Look, it's not like he's not a great player. I mean, he is when he plays. And maybe he just needs a fresh start. But, I mean, I had that conversation with him mid-season last year where he was like, yeah, the suspension was the best thing that ever happened to me, and it really woke me up. And maybe that's true, and maybe he just simply couldn't play this year because of injuries. But if you're another team, you better have the answer to that question about why he hasn't been able to get on the field on a consistent basis before you give up anything for him.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think it's going to be if anything, a sixth or a seventh with me. You know, can't do conditional if you're going to do this year's draft. But
I think it's a try to trade and no dice, and you end up having a release. So that would be my. And it's strictly.
Yeah, Rob. I guess the question is it just completely out of the realm of possibility that both sides come to this and say, we can't get anything. We'll save $6 million on the cap, but we could work out a new contract where there's incentives, because Green Bay still needs a corner. And the last time I checked, they're not everywhere. And the other part of this, if Green Bay releases him, I wouldn't want him going to Detroit or Minnesota, because then all of a sudden you have that added layer. So if you can even get a seventh just to move him somewhere where he's not going to be in your orbit, or do you think if you're going to release him, do you just look at it from Goody's standpoint and say, we just don't think he can stay healthy enough that it's even a bother for us to worry about doing that?
Yeah, and like that and like the pay cut thing, like it's not necessarily the money, it's the availability. At whatever price, you can't have a roster spot and go into week after week thinking you have a guy and not. It's a little bit like the Bakhtiari thing, unfortunately. Obviously, if you trade him for a seven, you have a lot more control over where he goes, but somebody's got to make the offer, and I just don't know if that's the case. I did, even though I was not at the Combine, I did talk to some agents that have been there and are still there, two of which who actually met with the Packers, and by meeting with the Packers, that usually means Russ Ball or Goody or John Eric Sullivan or one of the high ranking people. And the agents told me specifically, this is what he said to me: your team is going to be a player in free agency this year. And that's, you know, based on, you know, this agent having players that are going to be free agents. And, you know, I'm not giving away too much here, I don't think, without having done, you know, some more thorough reporting on it. But this agent was left with the impression that the Packers are going to be in the cornerback, defensive line, and receiver market. So, I mean, obviously, you're not going to get all three, right? Like, and one name that was mentioned to me, I got my little handy. I have an agent who sends me this chart, and it's the print on it is so small, but he does values for every player who's going to be a free agent. APY averages, he's usually pretty close on. And one guy that I had heard to keep an eye on with the Packers was DJ Reed, who this chart list says about a $14 to $15 million a year guy. That seems like it might be a fit for the Packers. I don't know when it's running. I would assume soon. We have a story on ESPN.com where meaning the reporters, play general manager and make offers to some of the top free agents. It's a little bit goofy. I get it, but it's kind of fun.
Fun.
And I put together, as if I were Brian Gutekunst, I put together offers for three players. DJ Reed being one of them, Josh Sweat, and T. Higgins. Now, the T. Higgins one's probably – the offer I made to T. Higgins was probably not good enough to get T. Higgins to sign. Because this chart had him as a $26 million a year average guy. I think it might be higher than that. For whatever that's worth.
Rob, what did your that? That's interesting that that many agents are telling you Green Bay is going to be a player. It's not all dabbling, because that is when you start gauging interest, getting an idea of ballpark numbers. What are you hearing about Myers? Is he going to get a good offer? Do you think that opportunity, I know we've had this discussion, you're going to be pushing for Zach Tom, the future Hall of Famer, to be playing center. That's just how this always goes. But what did your agent friends tell you about the APY and what that potential might look like to see if Myers could end up coming back to Green Bay?
Yeah, Myers is in the guard. It's not even listed. Does he not list centers? I thought I saw Josh Myers in the 8 to 10 million range. It must have been on another page that I failed to print out. But I don't know that. I have not heard a lot with Josh Myers, which tells me that it's, you know, possible that they have decided that they're not going to make that kind of an offer. I don't know that for sure. But they certainly talked about the future of the offensive line and mentioned a lot of guys' names that haven't played yet, you know, the Jacob Monks, the Jordan Morgans. And it would not surprise me if the Packers feel like they have enough options in-house, and then maybe adding another mid-round type of draft pick like they like to do and fill the offensive line that way. It does sound like Zach Tom is staying at right tackle based on what Goody had said. Whenever that was, Tuesday, I guess it was down there. Outside of the kicker, who I think we all know they're going to re-sign, Brandon McManus, Myers is really the only other one that's sort of a, and it's not even a must re-sign, but it's a could/should re-sign.
Rob, you mentioned the offensive line. Not only is Josh Myers a free agent, but 60% of the rest of the offensive line are all in the last year of their deals.
Yeah.
Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, Rashid Walker. Can you be a player if you're Goody? Are they in such good cap space that they can be a player for some big ticket guys now and re-sign guys that he might want to re-sign? Because when he talked about the salary cap space that they had to work with, he also emphasized how many rookie contracts were starting to come due.
Yeah, and like, I mean, you're not going to be able to re-sign all of them, but it's obvious Zach Tom is one. You know, Rashid Walker is an interesting one because, you know, you drafted Jordan Morgan, theoretically, originally to be a left tackle. And, you know, Rashid Walker may end up being just a stopgap guy, but, you know, he may also end up being a guy that's worth a contract that's not going to be – I mean, he's not going to get top market left tackle money. He's not getting, you know, Ronnie Stanley $18 million a year type of tackle money. So I don't necessarily think that re-signing multiple guys in that realm is out of the question. I would guess it's probably just one. I did find my Josh Myers center. He is listed as the second number two center on this list at $8 million a year behind Drew Dahlman from the Falcons at $10 million a year.
So that leads you to think he's going to be kind of like John Runyon was. Didn't he get $10 million a year last year from the Giants?
He did. And the other thing, too, Jason, there's not a lot of centers on the market this year, not a lot of quality. There's really only three guys that are going to command decent money. It's those two plus Ryan Kelly from Indianapolis. The rest of them are all, you know, like in the $2-3 million a year range. So the center market, you know, probably for Josh Myers, it's probably a good time to be a free agent because there aren't a ton of centers. Now, how many teams really sign centers? That's another thing.
All right, Rob, before we let you go, and thank you. We know the hoop season, now that the playoffs are going, you're going to be busy. Is, after hearing what you just said about your conversations, do you feel uber confident Goody and Russ have a big splash free agent signing on day one, which is when you pay the big bucks? Is there going to be one? I don't think you're going to get all three, but one big boy signing by the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I think they're going to try to. I think this is not a year where they sit it out, you know, in the first few days. Trying to get one done and actually getting one done are two different things. I would say it would not surprise me if they do get one of those day one, day two guys. It would not surprise me in one bit. I don't think it's necessarily a lock, but I do think they're attempting to do one of those types of deals.
We will see if that comes to fruition. He did hit two grand slams with the two free agents he signed last year. If he can replicate that, or that trade for DK Metcalf happens, it makes things very, very, very interesting, as we like to hear Big Mike say on our show. All right, Rob, give us the quick basketball report before we let you go. Big comeback win for the Redbirds. Tournament time is upon us, is it not?
Yeah, next Friday, first round, number one seed. Got a fairly reasonable path to Madison. A couple good teams in the way, but nothing that's not doable. So if we stay healthy, I'm hoping there's a run to Madison in us. So we'll see.
You looked very calm last night.
Who's the biggest one? Who is the biggest roadblock before you get to Madison in your sectional / regionals?
Yeah, it's one clear team, Tausch. It's Oshkosh North. They're a 7 seed, which is crazy low. But they have Xavion Mitchell, who's going to Iowa State. He's, you know, he's one of the top 3 guys in the state, maybe 4 for Mr. Basketball. Fortunately, we would not see them until the sectional final, if possible, if we both make it. They're an interesting team because they had one of their better players didn't play for like 3/4 of the season, so their record is not as good. But that kid came back, and they're long. They have like 3-6-6-6-7 guys. We have one of those type of guys. That's the type of team that could give us trouble. So if anybody out there can do us a favor and knock off Oshkosh North, we'd appreciate it.
Has been your Redbird Basketball Minute with Rob Domofsky, America's basketball dad. Rob, we appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
Fun to hear from Rob, and the really, really, really insightful and interesting stuff about the agents and the information that he gleaned from those exchanges. Tausch and I will talk a little bit about that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Welcome to the 2025 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio.
The NFL Draft is now underway.
Live from historic Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
With the first pick.
Thursday, April 24th on ESPN Radio, ESPN, and on ABC.
Take my heart, don't break it. Love me to my bones. All this time I've wasted. Stop.
to Rob Domofsky. I always feel like we're smarter after we talk to him. I do not personally believe that Brian Gutekunst is giving up the 23rd overall pick in a trade for DK Metcalf.
No. Are people saying that it's a first?
No, I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page. Oh, okay. There. Now,
what do
could
you
he,
think?
If he's including
think,
a player,
third?
If
third
he's including,
Romeo?
Let's because I think the guy to go is Romeo, because it's Romeo be does Romeo. Have trade value.
He does,
And maybe a new change of scenery change for him. Is great for him until, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba is getting the more opportunities than he is, and then he stays home from work.
Hey, and I thought at the time, like, once all that happened, you're never going to pay him. That's legit. What it's just, it is really tough to regain trust in that respect when something like that happens.
Not, I agree.
Watch Romeo end up signing a big fat deal in Green Bay, and we'll be sitting. I don't buy that. And I think if this does happen, which I'm not going to lie to you, I am not a fan of. I don't think this is the right play, because if you were getting DK and you had the contract all worked out, now if they structure it in the way they want, okay. I think DK Metcalf could be really good. Has he taken the league by storm as like a stud one? He would be the best receiver on the Packers right now if he gets traded.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we need.
And look, maybe it's my bias creeping in, but again, you don't have to pay Davante Adams to the same degree that you have to pay DK Metcalf, and he leaves you the ability to move forward with someone else grasping the number one job. If you trade for DK Metcalf, you are telling him you're the guy
for 2 to 3 years,
right? Whereas with Devontae, it's 2 years tops, I would say. I want to get to a couple things that we don't have the audio of because Goody said them in the special Wisconsin reporters only session, which I don't think was made available, as opposed to at the podium inside the... You don't have to abbreviate it, no. But I think it bolsters what Rob heard from his agent sources. Okay? So I want to get to that to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Plus, don't forget, we've got double trivia once again today. We've got Wonelli, and we've got Feel Good Friday. That's all still ahead during the 11 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch, which starts in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.